بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمد ونصلي على رسوله الكريم. We continue reading from the kitab إصلاح العقائد, correction of beliefs, and we are now coming to the end of the kitab. The last topic which we are discussing is prescriptions to leave this world with iman. Certain prescriptions have been mentioned here. Inshallah, by making amal on that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant us death on iman. Yesterday we did three already. One is to constantly recite these du'as, رَبَّنَا لَا تُزِقْ قُلُوبَنَا بَعْدَ إِذْ هَدَيْتَنَا وَهَبْ لَنَا مِنْ لَدُنْكَ رَحْمَةً إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ الْوَهَّابِ. And also, يَا حَيُّ يَا قَيُّ حَيُّ يَا قِرَحْمَتِكَ أَسْتَغِيثُ. And the third one was to utilize the miswak, to be particular in using the miswak. The fourth point mentioned here, that daily make shukr, be grateful for the iman one possesses. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has promised, if you make shukr, then I will definitely increase you in my bounties. By making shukr on iman, not only will it remain, but this will be a means of its progress. Number five, by protecting one's gaze from evil glances. We have been promised the sweetness of iman. When the sweetness of iman enters the heart, it is not taken away. By this action, there are glad tidings of a noble death. So that was number five, to protect one's gazes from evil glances. Number six, replying to the azan. After completion of the azan, recite Durood Sharif and then the dua of wasila. اللهم رب هذه الدعوة التامة والصلاة القائمة آتي محمدا الوسيلة والفضيلة وبعثه مقاما محمودا الذي وعدته. So to read the dua, reply to the adhan, and also to read the dua after adhan. In the Muslim Imam Bayhaqi rahmatullah alayh, the following words are narrated at the end, إنك لا تخلف الميعاد. After the dua, these words are also mentioned. The reward for recitation of this dua is حَلَّتْ لَهُ شَفَاعَتِي, as mentioned in Bukhari Sharif. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, whoever recites this dua, my intercession will become binding for him. Mullah Ali Qari Rahmatullah Alayhi states, in this there is an indication of glad tidings for a noble death, which means that he will leave this world with iman, since Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam will not intercede for a disbeliever. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's intercession will only be for the believers, and that will only be if a person passes away on iman. So we should be particular about this, to reply to the adhan and recite the dua after adhan also. Number seven, staying in the company of the pious and loving them for Allah Ta'ala's pleasure. In a hadith of Qudsi, Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala states, these are such accepted servants that those who sit by them cannot be deprived. Number eight, giving of charity. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Verily charity extinguishes the anger of Allah Ta'ala and repels an evil death. Number nine, to learn the love of Allah Ta'ala, to practice on those actions which will lead to His love, and to have love for the lovers of Allah Ta'ala, which is a means of acquiring the first two qualities, which means to love Allah Ta'ala and the actions which will now lead to Allah Ta'ala's love. The following dua is mentioned in a hadith, Allahumma inni as'aluka hubbaka wa hubba man yuhibbuka wal amal alladhi yuballighuni hubbaka. Translation of it is, O Allah, I ask you for your love, the love of those who love you, and those actions which will be a means of attaining your love. Between the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the love for those actions which will lead to His love, an entreaty is sought for the love of Allah, of the friends of Allah ta'ala, which is a means of attaining these two. In other words, love for the friends of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala leads one to sit in their company. This becomes a cause for love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and also love for good actions. The people of love will be saved from an evil death. What is the proof of this claim? Allah Ta'ala states, O believers, whoever amongst you turns renegade against you, then soon Allah Ta'ala will create such a nation who He will love and who will love Him. So Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala mentioning of these apostates, murtads, in comparison to the people of love, is a clear proof that they will be saved from apostasy. In other words, they will be saved from becoming murtad. So, for this is also a way through which we can attain the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that is, to love Allah Ta'ala, practice on the actions which lead to the love of Allah Ta'ala, and also have love for those who have the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala already. So 9 prescriptions have been mentioned here for death on Iman. Allah Ta'ala grant us this. On this the kitab is completed, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala correct our aqaid in every regard. These types of kitabs, we should try and get hold of them and constantly read them and refresh and also correct our aqaid in every regard. We started with the aqaid of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the angels, the kitabs, and all other things. So those, we have read the whole kitab throughout the month of Ramadan. Those who weren't here from the beginning, try and get hold of this kitab. They are printed, and also try and read them so that we don't fall into any type of wrong aqidahs and our aqidahs remain correct. Last night in the Taraweeh, alhamdulillah, the 30th para, the final para, was recited. Allah Ta'ala accept the recitation, accept the Taraweeh of everybody also. The last para comprises of 37 surahs, and we still have 3 surahs to do of the 29th para, we have still have 40 surahs to complete in the limited time. I don't know how much we will be able to do, but inshallah we will try and cover as much as we can. We stopped at Suratul Qiyamah in the third quarter of the 29th para, Suratul Qiyamah, La Uqsimu Biyawmil Qiyamah. This surah being a Makki surah also, and practically most of the surahs, right till the end of the 30th para, are mostly Makki surahs. Besides, with the exception of a few, which are Madani surahs, but as mentioned in the Makki surahs, Allah Ta'ala puts great emphasis on the fundamentals of deen, particularly the aqidah of Tawheed, the aqidah of Risalat, and also the aqidah of resurrection and life after death of Akhirat. Here too, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes qasam on the day of Qiyamah, and the qasam of the nafsul lawwama. Nafs are of 3 types. In the 13th para, in the beginning, mention was made of nafse ammara, which is a natural condition of a person's nafs. If it is not trained and looked after, it is ammara. Ammara means it constantly incites towards evil. That's the nature of the nafs. That's why we have been informed that there are 2 enemies. One is the outer external enemy, shaitan, and one is the inside enemy, which is within one's own bosom. That is your nafs. So a person has to be very wary of both of them, and both of them are such that they take a person towards evil. That nafse ammara, if it is tamed, it is nurtured, and it is looked after, and slowly, that condition of ammara then changes to lawwama. And this is what we should strive for, that our nafs should be lawwama. And lawwama means the reproaching nafs. Reproaching nafs means that nafs now comes into that condition, that when now you even try to go towards evil, your own nafs will reproach you. Hey, what's wrong with you? You are a person of iman, a person who believes in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In the year after, you have to account for your deed. Why are you now going? It will now stop you and reproach you from approaching evil also. And a person to a large extent then stays away from falling into evil. The higher level than that also is called nafsul mutmainna, which comes at the end of Suratul Fajr, Ya ayyatuhan nafsul mutmainna. That soul which is at complete contentment and at peace. That soul now, which now doesn't now even incline towards evil. Obviously, this is a very high level of the nafs, which now the Anbiya alayhim salatu wasalam are blessed with, and obviously, and also those selected servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who we call the awliya, etc. We should strive to go to that level, but it is a very high level. Allah Ta'ala makes our nafs mutmainna. But at least we should now come to the category of nafsul lawwama. And Allah Ta'ala takes qasam of that also. And Allah Ta'ala only takes qasam of those things in the Quran and Majid in which there is some reason and some benefit, which now is for mankind. And Allah Ta'ala then declares that does insan think that we will never gather his bones, that we will not resurrect him and bring him back to life? Allah Ta'ala says, why not? Definitely we are able to even perfect his fingertips. The fingertips, we all know that the fingerprints on the fingertips are one of the most intricate and finest detail for identifying a person. And that's why all the governments of the world, they know that the best form of identification of any person is through his fingertips. That's why we go for biometrics, we go for now passports, whatever. They make sure they take your fingerprints. Because no two people's fingerprints amongst the billions of people from Adam alayhi salam till the end of time, no two people's fingerprints are ever the same. Allah Ta'ala says, in that finest and minutest detail, we will again resurrect all of you. What's so difficult for us? We created you first of all from nothing, and now for us to recreate it, we will recreate you to the finest detail. What is difficult? So Allah Ta'ala makes mention of this, indicating to his great qudrat that Allah Ta'ala is able to do everything. Further on, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes mention of some of the scenes of the day of Qiyamah, and then Allah Ta'ala makes mention that in لَا تُحَرِّكْ بِهِ لِسَانَكَ لِتَعْجَلَ بِهِ, that O Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, don't move your tongue to hasten the Qur'an Majeed. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whenever he was blessed with revelation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala via Jibreel alayhi salam, for fear that he must not forget whatever is being revealed to him, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam quickly, with the fear that he mustn't forget, he used to repeat whatever Jibreel alayhi salam used to now bring revelation to him. With the result, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had to undergo great difficulty. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to find it very difficult, but since revelation had to be now transmitted to the people at large, so for fear he might forget it, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to do this. Nabi Allah ta'ala said, don't do that. Listen attentively. You don't have to now worry that whether you're going to remember or not. Why inna alayna jam'ahu wa qur'ana? It is our responsibility to gather that Qur'an Majeed in your heart, and you will remain, you will not forget it. You don't have to worry whether you will remember or not. We will make sure that you will remember it. And for us, upon us is the responsibility for you to recite it to the people and tell them what is the message of the Qur'an Majeed. Therefore, when the Qur'an Majeed is recited to you, فَاتَّبِعُ قُرْآنَ, then follow its recitation. Further, Allah Ta'ala makes mention of a very important thing, ثُمَّ إِنَّ عَلَيْنَا بَيَانَ, then it is our responsibility also to make bayan of the Qur'an through your tongue, which refers to the hadith of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And we all know the first commentary of the Qur'an Majeed is the hadith itself. And Allah Ta'ala says, our responsibility that you will correctly now give the meaning and interpretation of the Qur'an Majeed to the people. And you don't have to worry about that. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is consoled in this regard. Further, Allah Ta'ala makes mention of the occasion when a person is passing away, what conditions he goes through. And further, Allah Ta'ala then makes mention that insan must not think that we will just leave him like this idle, for he's got no objective of life. No, he has been created for a purpose. And remember your humble beginnings, Allah Ta'ala says. You were just a drop of fluid, of semen. And how Allah Ta'ala then took you through the stages of development, and you became insan. So, is Allah Ta'ala not able to now bring you back to life after you die? Definitely. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has got that qudrat. The next surah, Suratul Dahr, is a Madani surah, and this surah is also called Suratul Insan. Because Allah Ta'ala, in the first verse, Allah Ta'ala reminds us that a period of time passed over you, O insan, where you were nothing, you were not even worth mentioning. You were a completely non-entity. Nobody knew you. Even your own parents didn't know that now you are going to be born. Each person thinks for himself, if I am 20, 30, 50 years old, before that, what was me? I was nothing. I was not even in the thought of my parents. But Allah Ta'ala created you through the different stages, and Allah Ta'ala guided you. But now insan are of two types, shakiran or kafura. Or imma kafura. Either he is grateful and he brings iman, and either he is ungrateful and now he stays in disbelief. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, now for each of them, what are the consequences of them for in the year after? Allah Ta'ala makes mention of all the difficult conditions for the kuffar and the blissful conditions which the mu'mineen and multaqeen will be blessed with in the year after. Allah Ta'ala makes mention of that. And then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is told that we have revealed this Quran to you in a gradual way, tanzila. Therefore, persevere and be tolerant to the commandment of your Rabb, and do not be obedient to the kuffar who are the sinners and who are the great kuffar and ungrateful ones, who make demands to you, trying to make you compromise your deen and the teachings of deen. No, don't ever do that. And remember and take the name of your Rabb. Remember the name of your Rabb, morning and evening, and in the night, prostrate in front of Allah Ta'ala and glorify Him through the long portions of the night. So here, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is being told, but also, this is now some guideline for all those who are doing the work of deen, calling people towards the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that they must have this quality of sabr in them also. They will encounter difficult conditions in their task and in their preaching the message of haq. Further, they must not forget that they must not forget the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and also standing in prostration and ibadat in the night. In Surah Alam Nashrah, which comes in the 30th para, Allah Ta'ala tells Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also, فَإِذَا فَرَغْتَ فَانْصَبْ, when you have completed your responsibilities of passing the message to the people, then فَانْصَبْ, then exert yourself. Exert yourself, in other words, then don't forget your individual ibadat. In other words, the dhikr of Allah Ta'ala, the ibadat of the night, وَإِلَىٰ رَبِّكَ فَرْغَبْ, and incline towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by making his ibadat in an individual basis also. Many a time people, Allah Ta'ala save us, but many a time we are engaged in some work of deen, whichever field it is, but we forget all of that, our responsibilities of the ibadat of Allah Ta'ala and the dhikr of Allah Ta'ala, it should not be so. In the next surah, Surah Al-Mursalat, Allah Ta'ala again takes the qasam of the winds in the different, with their various functions, and Allah Ta'ala says, إِنَّمَا تُوْعَدُونَ لَوَاكِ, what we have been promised will definitely occur. That is the day of Qiyamah. Allah Ta'ala then gives the frightening scenes of Qiyamah, and how what will happen on the day of Qiyamah. And thus we see many surahs also in the 30th para, where Allah describes what will happen on the day of Qiyamah, how the sky will split asunder, and the mountains will be moved from their places, they will be flying around like cotton wool, and the seas will be also now ignited, etc. All those things are mentioned in different and various ways in many surahs. In Surah Al-Mursalat also, and also in many other surahs in the beginning, particularly in the beginning of the 30th para. Allah Ta'ala then makes mention in different intervals here, وَيْلُ يَوْمَ إِذِ لِلْمُكَذِّبِينَ, may destruction be on that day for those who are the deniers, those who reject the message of haq. Allah Ta'ala says destruction for them. Allah Ta'ala again reminds that, don't you know that we created you from a despicable drop of fluid, referring to semen, and then we put it into a secure place. In other words, the womb of the mother, إِلَىٰ قَدَرٍ مَعْلُومٍ, till a appointed time, normally about 9 months. فَقَدَرْنَا فَنِعْمَ الْقَادِرُونَ, and then we fashion, and then we now fashion that fetus to what we call the human being, an insan. How nice we have fashioned everything. It is the great qudrat of Allah Ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala reminds us of all this. And towards the end, Allah Ta'ala, the surah, Allah Ta'ala makes mention again of the muttaqeen. What great bounties Allah Ta'ala has kept them in for them in Jannah. Then we come to the 30th para in Surah An-Naba, the first surah. Again, mention is made of Allah Ta'ala, of the day of Qiyamah, which people differ about. Allah Ta'ala says, what are they asking about one another? Of the great event. And the great event refers to the day of Qiyamah. Allah Ta'ala then puts our attention towards His great Qudrat. That just think of the great Qudrat and powers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you reflect and ponder with a clean and open heart, definitely you will get the recognition of Allah Ta'ala, Allah Ta'ala's existence, His oneness, His great Qudrat. So how is it that you deny resurrection and say it is beyond the Qudrat of Allah Ta'ala to bring us back to life? Allah Ta'ala enumerates His great favors of one man. In heaven we made the earth a bedding for you, and the mountains as a peg for you, which maintains the stability of the earth. And we created you in pairs, male and female. We have made sleep for you a means of rest, and the night we made for you a drape and a veil, which is conducive to rest and sleep. And we made the day a way to earn your livelihood. And we created above you seven solid skies. And we made the shining lamp, referring to the sun. And from the laden clouds, we took out torrential rain. And so that, through that, we extract from the earth and take out from the earth seeds and plants and lush gardens. All these indicate the great qudrat of Allah Ta'ala. Think and ponder over it, and then you will realize that Allah Ta'ala has got all power to do everything, and there's nothing beyond Allah Ta'ala to resurrect you and bring you back to life after you had died. Further, Allah Ta'ala makes mention of the kuffar and the punishments which await them, and also for the muttaqeen, how Allah Ta'ala has prepared great bounties and benefits, bounties of His in the year after in Jannah. The kuffar on that day, when you will see what awaits them, well, they will say, "Ya laytani kuntu turaba." If only I was just sand and dust. They will see the animals. Allah Ta'ala, His perfect justice, retribution will take amongst animals also on the day of Qiyamah. But then they will all turn to dust. At that time, this kuffar will say, "If only I was also like that. Now I must also be turned to dust, and I don't have to now go into Jahannam and stay in there forever and ever." But where can this desire and hope of theirs ever be realized? In Surah An-Nazi'at, again Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes mention of the day of Qiyamah, where hearts will be throbbing because of fear and awe, and the eyes will be downcast, and out of embarrassment and shame, particularly those who were the disobedient ones. And Allah Ta'ala says that this is how the condition of Qiyamah will be. If you don't accede to the message of Haqq, Allah Ta'ala can destroy you and punish you in this world. And then Allah Ta'ala makes mention of Fir'aun, how his arrogance and pride refused to let him accept the message of Haqq, and how Allah Ta'ala then destroyed him. Allah again makes mention of his great Qudrat, and then Allah Ta'ala says that the types of people, that one are those who are the transgressors who give preference to the worldly life, for Jahannam is their abode, where their actions, their efforts, and all their objectives are only directed in one direction, how to get more and more of the worldly life. Allah Ta'ala says, for them is Jahannam. But the one who fears standing in front of his Rabb, and he prevents his nafs from the desires of the nafs, from falling into evil, Allah Ta'ala says, Jannat is that person's abode. He is now objective is the year after. He knows he will have to now give reckoning in front of Allah Ta'ala, and his focus is only on that. Allah Ta'ala gives glad tidings to such people, that for such people there is Jannat. The next surah, Surah Abad. This surah, the beginning verses, there is an incident which occurred in the time of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, which we will now hear, but the fact that Allah Ta'ala mentioned these words, actually it is a type of a reprimand for Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself. And that itself is an indication, is proof that the Quran and Majid is the word of Allah Ta'ala and not the word of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If it was like how the kuffar alleged concerning Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam having forged the Quran and Majid from his own side, these types of verses where Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself is reprimanded by Allah Ta'ala in a loving way, that he doesn't make that mistake again. But if these type of verses would not have been in the Quran Majid, if it was not the word of Allah Ta'ala. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was once in a very crucial meeting, important meeting with the leaders of the Mushrikeen, and trying to make them understand the message of the truth, knowing that even if some or one of them also have to now accept the message of Haqq, it will influence all others to accept Islam. While that was in progress, Abdullah ibn Maktoum radiallahu anhu, a blind Sahabi radiallahu anhu, not realizing the urgency and the importance of the meeting Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam was having with these leaders of the Quraysh, he came and he requested Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam to teach him something and kept on insisting. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam turned away from him, thinking he's a sincere Sahabi, and later on I will explain to him whatever he wants to now know about. But at the moment I can't interrupt this meeting. These leaders of the Mushrikeen will get offended, and this rare opportunity to give the message of Haqq and where they are prepared to listen might not come again. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam turned away from Abdullah ibn Maktoum radiallahu anhu, and showed this type of displeasure on the insistence of Abdullah ibn Maktoum radiallahu anhu. With the result, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam displeasure became apparent on his face, where he frowned. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Allah Ta'ala says, "Abasa wa tawalla." How Allah Ta'ala kept the respect and honor of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam can also be understood from the verse that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is not addressed directly, but in the third person, that he frowned. He didn't say you frowned. He frowned and turned away because a blind person came to him. Then Allah Ta'ala directly addresses Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. What do you know? Perhaps he might be purified. He was a person of Iman, and now what you might tell him and inform him about, it will cause his spiritual reformation and purification. Or he will take heed to the advice and advice that benefits people. But as for the person who is completely indifferent, referring to the leaders of the mushrikeen, you pay attention to them. فَأَنْتَ لَهُ تَصَدَّى وَمَا عَلَيْكَ أَلَّا يَزَّكَّى. Whereas there was no blame on you, O Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, if he was not purified. And as for the one who came running to you in eagerness, enthusiasm, وَهُوَ يَخْشَى, and he had fear of Allah Ta'ala in his heart, you turn away from him? No, it shouldn't be so. كَلَّا. Never, never let it be like this. From this we understand that we should not give preference to the non-Muslims where we don't even know whether they will now heed the message of Haqq. We should not give them preference over sincere Muslims. And propagation of deen and teaching of deen and ta'aleem and tazkiyah and islah of these, they should not be compromised and thinking now propagation of the deen to non-Muslims should be given preference. That doesn't mean we shouldn't. We should propagate the message of deen to even the non-Muslims. But when it comes now to the detriment of the Muslims, then now we should not give that preference over this. Here, people already are Muslim. They already have the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in their heart. Now it just has to be developed, and that should be given preference. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was reprimanded in a certain way by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in these verses. Here too Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes mention of the great bounties Allah has blessed us with. And then concerning the day of Qiyamah, Allah ta'ala says, you will see people running away from their own brothers and mothers and fathers and wives and children. Every person on that day will be in a predicament which will make him oblivious of all around him. And he will not he will run away from others. Perhaps he might ask me, no, I'm short of one naked, please can you give me? No. People will now will be all in their own world. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, for those people whose faces will be shining and they will be happy, some faces be like that, others will be gloomy and dark. Why? Because they were in kufr, and it was the result. Now they await the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that will be the condition of their faces on the day of Qiyamah. In Surah Al-Takwir and Surah Al-Infitar, here both surahs, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes mention of the day of Qiyamah and all the scenes, frightening scenes which will occur at the time, at the advent of Qiyamah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Infitar also reminds us that Allah, what has put you into deception, O insan, concerning your generous Rabb, your most kareem Rabb, so kind and compassionate and Rabb, what has put you into deception? He is now kindness and generosity and compassion is such that you are supposed to turn to him in gratitude for everything he has blessed you with. But yet you are turning away. How lovingly Allah Ta'ala addresses insan. Ma gharraka, what is it that is causing you now to fall into deception about Allah Ta'ala? That Allah who has created you, who has perfected you, and fa'adalaka, and he has created you in due proportion. Every limb of the insan, of the human body, Allah Ta'ala made it in such a way which distinguishes him from all other creations of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which indicates his superiority also, and the great wisdom in everything, wherever the head is, the eyes are, the ears are, the legs are, the hands are, everything conducive for the objective of the creation of insan, and that is to recognize Allah Ta'ala and worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Further on, Allah Ta'ala in the Surah Al-Mutaffifin, Allah gives warnings to those who cheat. When they have to now weigh and measure and take from people, they take in full. But those when they have to now give, they now give in a form of reduction. In other words, they don't give in full. They cheat. Allah Ta'ala mentions that there is great destruction for them. Allah, the ulama explained that this doesn't only refer to monetary dealings, but in every aspect of life, even there is cheating in salat, where a person doesn't perform the ruku and sajda correctly with the normal ta'adil arkan, as we say. That is also a type of a cheating. So a person should be very careful that, for example, a laborer, he works but not his full hours, but he demands full pay. It's also a cheating. All that, we should be very careful in this regard. Allah Ta'ala mentions there is great destruction for such people. And thereafter Allah Ta'ala makes mention again of the people of Iman, and on the other hand the people of Kufr, and what punishment or rewards await them. In Surah Al-Inshiqaq again, Qiyamah is described, and insan is told that you toil and you make an effort in your path towards your Rabb, and you will definitely meet your Rabb. Every person in this world, he has to toil and make an effort for himself, for his family, for his now seeing to his worldly needs, and also now to see to his spiritual needs. He has to toil. Allah Ta'ala says, لَتَرْكَبُنَّ طَبَقًا عَنْ طَبَقٍ. You will definitely go from stage to stage in your life. from the time you are, of your conception, in the, from the time when you are a drop of fluid, till the time now you are then developed into a child, and then you grew up, then you middle age, and then old age, and then passing away, then barzakh, the period after death, then qiyamah. These are all the stages you have to go through. So make sure now that your path towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is with the correct objective, and you reach your destination in a way that Allah ta'ala is pleased. Further on, Allah ta'ala in Surah Al-Buruj, Allah ta'ala takes qasam of many things, and then Allah ta'ala says, destruction be for the people of the trenches. Referring to an incident which happened before the time of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, where an unjust king, those people who brought Iman at the hands of a young man, and he became infuriated, and he dug a trench, filled it with fire, and all those who had Iman, they had to go into that fire. The incident is quite lengthy. Allah Ta'ala makes mention of that. And further on, Allah Ta'ala makes mention of now what Allah Ta'ala has kept for the people of Iman and Amal al-Salih, the Jannat and all the bounties of Jannat. Further on, Allah Ta'ala in Surah Al-Tariq, again, Allah Ta'ala takes qasam of the stars informs insan that be rest assured that every person has a watchful eye over him. In other words, in the form of the angels who record everything which he does. And again, the humble beginning of insan, don't forget that. What you were and now what you have become. Why now are you disputing with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Further on in Surah Al-A'la, Allah ta'ala makes mention of a verse, وَنُيَسِّرُكَ لِلْيُسْرَى. O Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the mu'mineen, we have made easy for you the easy and simple thing. Referring to the Shariat and commands of Shariat. Here, Shariat and commands of Shariat has been termed as yusra, the easy thing. We have made it easy for you. Every command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah has made it such that it is easy for insan. All he has to do is bring Iman and have the right frame of mind, and everything is within his grasp to do it. Performing daily 5 salat, keeping the fast, whole Ramadan 30 days, non-believers cannot understand this. Why? Because they are not people of Iman. But those of Iman, then Allah Ta'ala mentions everything we have made easy for you. Allah Ta'ala mentions in a verse, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ تَزَكَّى. Most successful, indeed successful, are those people who purify themselves. And then Allah Ta'ala makes mention of two things after that, which is a great aid in getting spiritual purification. وَذَكَرَ اسْمَ رَبِّهِ فَصَلَّى. And he takes the name of his Rabb, makes dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and performs salat with its due requisites and on the correct times, etc. That is the way a person can purify himself, and those people who purify themselves will be indeed most successful. In Surah Al-Ghashiyah, Allah Ta'ala mentions عَامِلَةٌ نَاسِبَةٌ. That certain people in this world, they used to toil and work hard and labor and tire themselves, encounter great difficulties, but because of wrong beliefs and because the direction was not correct, all that will be in vain in the year after. They will see no reward. We see so many people of other religions, how they toil and exert themselves and thinking they are getting the pleasure of what they call their God, whatever it is, but in the year after it will be completely useless and of no avail to them whatsoever. Allah invites us to ponder over His great creations. For example, the camel, how Allah has made the camel, how what structure was it, and so that it adapts to the conditions in which it normally lives. A person has to just study the camel itself. A person will see the great qudrat and wonder of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Similarly, the mountains, the earth, the skies, etc. In Surah Al-Fajr, we are also informed, after Allah Ta'ala takes qasam of many things, also of the 10 days, referring to the 10 days of Dhul Hijjah, which have great virtue, Allah Ta'ala then mentions that those who now deny the message of Haqq, like the Aad and the Thamud, they were destroyed, they were to be destroyed. Allah Ta'ala makes mention of the inherent weakness of insan, that when Allah Ta'ala blesses him with bounties and wealth, he says, Allah has honored me. He thinks that now wealth and status and fame and all these things are a sign of acceptance. But on the other hand, if a person now is deprived of these things, he says, my Rabb has disgraced me. Whereas not to be given ample sustenance and worldly things of this dunya, that too is not an indication that Allah Ta'ala is displeased with you. It is according to the wisdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Allah Ta'ala gives some more and some less. In Surah Al-Qiyamah we are also informed that Surah Al-Balad, we are informed لَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ فِي كَبَدْ. We have created insan in We have created insan in exertion, in kabad. In other words, he now exerts himself and makes effort in every direction. But a person's direction has to be correct for him to be successful. In Surah Al-Shams, Allah Ta'ala takes qasam of many things, even of the soul of a person. Allah Ta'ala says, qasam of the soul and that, and the one who perfected it and who inspired it with its vice and virtue. In other words, with the evil end, with taqwa. So insan has been now inspired from beginning what is the path of wrong and what is the path of right. But the one who purified himself, he is the one who will be successful, and the one who now soiled himself with the evil, which his nafs was inspired with, he has put himself into destruction. In Suratul Layl, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes mention of that the efforts of insan are diverse, are different. Every person's effort is in a different direction. And the one whose efforts are in the right direction, he will be successful. Some verses here, ulama explained, refers to particularly Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu and his great significance, that وَسَيُجَنَّبُهَا الْأَتْقَى. Allah will keep away from Jahannam the one with a high level of taqwa, who gives in the path of Allah Ta'ala, purifies himself and doesn't regard it to be a burden for him to spend in the path of Allah Ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala says that he only seeks the pleasure of Allah Ta'ala, and he will definitely see the pleasure of Allah Ta'ala in the year after. In Surah Al-Duha, Allah Ta'ala enumerates his bounties upon Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and consoles him that these kuffar who say that your Rabb has forsaken you and abandon you, just referred to the time when the wahi was interrupted for a certain amount of time. These mushrikeen started taunting and mocking that, oh, now your Rabb has forgotten you. He has forgotten you. Allah Ta'ala, ma wadda'aka rabbuka wa ma qala. And then Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's bounties of Allah Ta'ala upon Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is enumerated, that didn't we find you an orphan, we gave you protection, and you are uninformed, we guided you to the path of haq, you are poor, Allah Ta'ala made you independent, and therefore don't scold the orphan, and don't rebuke the beggar, and mention the ni'mat of your Rabb. In other words, what Allah Ta'ala has blessed you with, mention it, and it is also a form of gratitude that you don't conceal the favors of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon you. In Surah Alam Nashrah, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is told, who was very worried about the great responsibility of Nabuwat upon himself, Allah Ta'ala says, we have removed from you your burden upon yourself, and we have lightened your load. And remember, with every difficulty there is easiness. Allah Ta'ala mentions it twice. And then the verse which was just explained now, when you have finished your responsibility of propagating the message of Haq, then exert yourself in the worship of Allah Ta'ala and turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in ibadat. In Surah At-Tin, we are told that insan has been created in the best of forms, but if he now does not follow the way and purpose of his creation, he now gets relegated to asfalus safilin, the lowest of the low, and he will even fall beneath the level of the animals also when he doesn't accept the message of Haq. In Surah Iqra, the first verses, five verses, were those were revealed, the first form of revelation, in which the importance of ta'aleem and education is also indicated to in these verses. And then in Surah Qadr, everybody knows that concerning the revelation of the Quran and Majid all at once from the lower mahfuz to the sky, first sky was in Laylatul Qadr. And the great significance and virtue of Laylatul Qadr in Surah Zilzal, mention is made of Qiyamah again. And in Surah Al-Adiyat, Allah Ta'ala takes qasam of the horses which people use to go in jihad. You feed that horse, rear it, it becomes so loyal to you. It penetrates the enemy ranks without fear for its own life. But just because of the command of his master, Allah Ta'ala says, O insan, Allah has created you, has sustained you. Why are you so disloyal? It is actually because لِحُبِّ الْخَيْرِ لَشَدِيدِ. Intense love for wealth of the dunya has made you like this. Remember that Allah Ta'ala is your creator and sustainer. Like that horse, you also be always loyal to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In Surah Al-Qariyah, again mention is made of Qiyamat, and in Surah At-Takathur, Allah informs us that rivalry in amassing the wealth of this dunya has put you into negligence. And this is the condition of insan till he has to visit the grave, in other words, till pass away. So don't let this now cause you to fall into negligence. Surah Al-Asr, Imam Shafi rahmatullah alayhi mentions that this surah is sufficient for the guidance of man and for his constitution of life, that insan is in at a loss, but only those who do bring iman and do good actions and advise one another about the truth and about sabr. They are now the exceptions to this. The first two refers to individual islah, and the last two to advise one another about haqq and of sabr concerning islah of people. So thus, these types of people, inshallah, they will not be at a loss. Allah takes qasam of time, the importance of time also can be understood from there. And then the remainder of the surahs, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in surah Al-Humazah also inform us that there's not just wealth, make it such that you think you will remain forever. Sometimes worldly riches, a person does such actions as if he's going to stay forever. It shouldn't be so. And also in Surah Al-Fil and Surah Quraysh, Allah Ta'ala makes mention of the great bounties which Allah Ta'ala had blessed, particularly the Quraysh of Makkah, how Allah Ta'ala defeated those people who tried to demolish the Kaaba before Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was born, Abraha and his army of elephants. How? Through small birds and with small pebbles. They were pelted and they had the power of bullets and bombs, and they were completely destroyed. So the Quraysh had great honor, and amongst all the other Arabs, the Quraysh particularly, and Allah Ta'ala tells them, turn to Allah Ta'ala in gratitude. Allah Ta'ala has made you and given you this honor. So don't show ingratitude. And towards the end, Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala then in Surah Kawthar, some time has gone, we'll just finish it, inshallah. In Surah Kawthar, Allah Ta'ala mentions that, O Nabi Sallallahu, we have granted you Kawthar. Kawthar refers either to the house of Kawthar or either abundant good. So therefore, in gratitude, perform salat and sacrifice the animal. And then Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is told that these people who mock and jeer at you, that your male offspring are not remaining alive, then your name will now be forgotten amongst the people, and you will be a forgotten entity very soon. Allah Ta'ala says, it is your enemies who will be like that. Your name will remain till the day of Qiyamah, in every adhan, in every namaz, in tashahud, in every durood. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's name is being echoed throughout the four corners of the world, and Allah Ta'ala will keep it like that. In Surah Idha Ja'a wa Nasrullah, is a Madani surah, reference is made to the conquest and victory which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had granted the Muslimin. It was towards the end of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's life that the surah was revealed, and everybody started rejoicing. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu started crying, and he knew that now Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's objective and mission for him being sent has been accomplished, and now very soon he will pass away. And within 70 days from the revelation of this verses, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam passed away. Those who are the enemies of Islam, the uncle of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Abu Lahab, how he opposed Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, staunch enemy of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, how Allah Ta'ala destroyed him and his wife, are mentioned in Surah Al-Lahab, Surah Al-Ikhlas. Al-Tawheed of Allah Ta'ala is emphasized in every aspect, in the composition of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the plurality of Allah Ta'ala, in the resemblance of Allah Ta'ala. There is no partner whatsoever. In the last two surahs, Surah Al-Falaq and Surah Al-Nas, these verses were revealed when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, witchcraft and jadu by a Jew, Walid ibn Asim and his daughter, they made jadu on Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah Ta'ala revealed these verses when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was told that they tied the knots in the hair, and Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam showed the location where they had made the jadu and where they had placed it. And now take it out and read each verse on every knot, and inshallah that effect of their jadu, which very slightly affected Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, but Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was then completely cured. Ulama explained that these surahs, where protection of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala is sought, in the first Surah Al-Falaq, from protection of Allah Ta'ala from four things: from the evil of his creation, from the evil of darkness when it now enshrouds the people, because in darkness normally the people of jadu, they practice their jadu, and the evil of those who blow in the north, referring particularly to that woman, the daughter of this Jew who did this work, and the evil of the jealous eye, those when they practice jealousy. So we should read this, and inshallah Allah Ta'ala will protect us from all evil, the jealousy of the jealous, and all types of difficult conditions. In Surah An-Nas, four things Allah Ta'ala tells Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam: seek the protection of Allah Ta'ala, who is the king, who is the lord of the people and the ilah of the people. Seek protection from Allah Ta'ala, but from four things: from the evil of the whisperer, that is shaitan, and from the evil of the whispering which he now puts into the hearts of the people, who are from the jinnat and from the insan. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is told to ask protection from there. We should constantly recite Mu'awwadhatayn, and inshallah it will be a cure for all difficulties which a person encounters. Allah Ta'ala grant us the tawfiq. Very briefly, we just try to cover whatever had been in a very brief way. But particularly, we should try now get the relationship of the Quran and Majid to that level where the recitation, understanding of the Quran and Majid also, and particularly those surahs which we now recite constantly in Salat, the last few surahs, the translation of that, so that through that concentration in Salat also can be achieved. Allah Ta'ala grant us tawfiq.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. وأخرج الطبراني عن أم أنس رضي الله عنها أنها قالت يا رسول الله أوصني قال أهجري المعاصي فإنها أفضل الهجرة وحافظي على الفرائض فإنها أفضل الجهاد وأكثري من ذكر الله فإنك لا تأتين الله بشيء أحب إليه من كثرة ذكره. أنس رضي الله عنه کے والدان عرض کیا یا رسول اللہ مجھے کوئی وصیت فرمائیے. ارشاد فرمایا گناہوں کو چھوڑ دو, یہ سب سے افضل ہجرت ہے, اور فرائض کو پابندی سے ادا کرتی رہو, یہ سب سے افضل جہاد ہے, اور اللہ کا ذکر کثرت سے کرتی رہو, اس لیے کہ اللہ کے پاس اس کے ذکر کی کثرت سے زیادہ محبوب اور پسندیدہ چیز لے کر نہیں جا سکتے. The mother of Hazrat Anas radiallahu anhu once requested for some advice from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to her, abandon sin, for this is the best thing to abstain from. Remain punctual on your obligatory duties, for this is the best form of jihad. Make the zikr of Almighty Allah in abundance, for verily you can present no action to Allah more beloved to Him than making His zikr in abundance.